Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Merlin Cast, episode 16. Today's a special episode. We're not actually reviewing any Merlin episodes from any seasons. We're actually going to be including an interview we did with David Griffin from ThinkHero.com. David had the opportunity to be a part of the press at the Comic-Con that took place last month, and he got to interview the cast of Merlin that attended. He got some great information, and he was able to get on the show and share that with us. So we have a great interview for you later in the show, and I think you'll enjoy it. And we're going to talk about the news, and then we have some Twitter responses to talk about, and some scripted magic to attempt again. And Sarah is back with us this week after a 2-week absence.
Hey, guys.
right now it's me, Sarah, and Courtney. Andrew is currently racing home to join us. So he'll be on shortly, and I'm sure, as he always does, he'll have some elaborate story to tell us about where he was. So my name's Aaron Millard.
My name's Courtney Catadella.
And I'm Sarah Sutherland.
Okay. The big news this week, there wasn't a whole lot, but the big thing that did come out was the first official autumn trailer for Season 5 of Merlin. It came out 4 days ago. We're recording on Tuesday, so that would have been, what, Saturday? I think so. Not that it really matters that much. But the trailer, it's a minute and a half long. It's basically an extended version of the trailer you saw at Comic-Con, and then the trailer that came out last week. It's longer, it's got some good information in it, and overall, it was, I thought, a really good trailer. It was very interesting. They're really hyping up this whole Arthur's Bane thing, so it'll be interesting to see what it's all about. But they did a good job with the music. I really liked kind of a more modern music theme for the trailer. I think it's going to get more people interested than they would with the usual music. Not that I love the usual music, but I think when you're trying to draw in an audience, you have to kind of make a modern trailer like this one. What were your guys' thoughts on this?
Sarah, you can go ahead.
Yeah, I thought it was very strange. At first, when I watched the trailer, I thought that somebody had dubbed it over or some fan thing. And it took a while for me to realize that this was actually the real deal. And after I realized that, I tried to accept it a little more. And I did think the song was very fitting, you know, for what was being shown. And I thought it was great. But it was just kind of weird for me to see that. But overall, I mean, I think it was a good choice. They're just moving into something a little more adult and a little newer type of new age thing. So we'll see how it works out. I think it was fine, just as long as they don't actually use it in episode, because that would be weird. I wouldn't like that.
Oh, I don't think they would.
I wouldn't like that.
And what did you think of, the big question we've had lately is, what did you think of Gaius's hair?
Yes, general consensus is questionable.
Well,
I think he's trying to be an old hipster.
I mean, if anyone could pull it off, it'd be Gaius.
True. I genuinely like guys with long hair, but seeing Gaius with it, I'm having a hard time swallowing that one.
I think he might be a little too old for you, so don't worry.
Oh, I wasn't thinking that direction, Courtney, but okay.
I kind of agree with you, Sarah. I thought that at first I just thought that it was kind of a mixed up version of the previous trailer that came out, but I really liked how they used the I don't know the technical word for it, but like the words in this, because I think that as they started playing the music, like the really like new age music in the background, the words "a new age" came up on the screen, and I was like, or like a new era or something like that. And that, to me, was so cool, because I was like, this is fresh music for what's going to be a very fresh and up-and-coming kingdom. And I was kind of like, you know what? The younger generation is rising up to take the throne and is really coming into its own. So I think it's, like, a very fitting facelift for Merlin, and I'm really excited to see what they do with the season.
Yeah, me too. And just looking at the different shots, like, the cinematography has been improved, I think, in so many different ways. Like, just from the trailer, like, watching it. And, yes, the first one that we see, you can totally tell that the moon or, like, the place was CGI. The very first scene it shows with, like, Merlin walking through the gate. You can totally tell that's CGI.
Yeah.
But I'm just, like, looking through it now and just seeing there's a lot of different shots that they normally don't have. And I think it's great because they're exploring, you know, new different ways to do and to, like, film. And it's truly, like, it's proving to be very artfully done. And, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see, just, like, production-wise, how much they've advanced. Like, the first season's fun to watch, but it's also kind of good to see how they've improved over the years.
Yeah, I agree. Right.
And the name of that song is Knights of Cydonia.
Ooh.
And the lyrics that you heard in the trailer are, "No one's gonna take me alive. The time has come to make things right. You and I must fight for our rights. You and I must fight to survive." So, quite fitting, I think, for what's in store for Merlin in Season 5.
I agree.
I think that was a good choice on their part.
Very cool.
Yeah. And one other news story, and I don't know exactly how recent this is, but Sarah brought it to my attention, and she's going to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, so the Warwick Castle, which is apparently a very huge attraction in the UK, often has been used to, like, people to come and to explore it, but they actually just opened up a Merlin attraction called Merlin, the Dragon Tower. And apparently it is a walkthrough, exhibition, and I'm not entirely sure exactly what is in it. They kind of don't really say much, but they just talk about how, They say, you come face to face with Merlin, though his wax figure anyway, and you journey deep within the castle, and you find a magical mirror, and I guess you get to speak to Kilgara, the great dragon. So that's pretty cool. And just looking, like, at all the events at the Warwick Castle, they do a lot of different reenactments and attractions. So you have a jousting tournament, there's a trebuchet that they fire, and it looks like they just have a lot of different, like, shows, and one of them is called Sword in the Stone, so it probably has to allude to something like that. But looking at, like, the pictures, it just looks really cool. And, yeah, I wish I could go, because it sounds awesome, and it looks awesome. And, I think it says it's £40 family of, for a castle ticket. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. If you're in the UK, just go and check out the Merlin Dragon Tower, because it's obviously really exciting. Yeah. And it's cool that it's at Warwick Castle, which is a historic, very historic attraction, too. So, I mean, if you're a Merlin fan, obviously, like, it'd be awesome to, like, go. But, like, on a side note, I think it's really cool that they're doing this, because I don't know how popular Merlin is in the UK, but I think it's just another way to promote the series, and I think it's really cool, like, how they're doing it. It's very similar, you know, to the Harry Potter Wizarding World and, what Leavesden Studios or whatever, like, to promote it. I think it's really cool that they have this now open, too. But yeah.
Right.
It's exciting.
And it does caution you. In the area where the great dragon is, they use lots of smoke and flame. So if you have breathing problems, you might want to be careful.
Yeah.
But that's just more exciting because that means, like, you actually get an experience with the dragon. It's so cool.
Yeah, you get to live in the moment.
Another reason why I want to move to the UK.
Yeah, it'd be pretty awesome. Let's all fly there and check it out.
Yes.
Sure.
How did you stumble upon that, anyway?
Merlin official Twitter.
Out of curiosity.
The Merlin official Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was on there?
Yeah, I looked.
I should have been paying attention.
Because I noticed, oh, we didn't talk about the production stills that they released. Did you see those?
Oh, yeah, we can talk about that. Yeah, I saw them, some of them are actually in the trailer.
Yeah.
Or at least I thought I noticed them in the trailer.
So what happened...
But yeah,
What happened was I looked and saw that, because I follow them on my own personal Twitter, and I saw that they posted pictures, and so I was like, okay, I gotta go on Merlincast and retweet those, and then I just looked down their profile their feed or whatever, and I saw this, and I thought it was interesting, so I clicked on it, and then I learned about it, and I was like, whoa, I don't know how long this has been open for, but that is really cool. We need to talk about it. So, yeah.
Right. The production stills, I mean, you got one of Gwen and Arthur. I don't know. I mean, I like them, but, like, what is there really, honestly, to talk about with them? We have Gwen and Arthur standing there romantically.
Romantically. Gwen's hair is beautiful, and her costumes are very different. And
absolutely.
You can see how...
Now, if we're talking...
We can go into this about how Gwen's slightly smiling, right. And Arthur is looking stone cold ahead, being very determined. It's kind of like the royal couple is going to fend off or fight against evil to protect Camelot. I don't know.
Yeah. I like Angel's longer hair.
I do too.
Sure. She looks really pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
And I mean, Bradley James looks good as ever. So.
Yes.
The other still, which is a shot of Morgana in the snow. When you look at the background of their Twitter page right now, it's a barren Arctic area with a, looks like a castle of some sort behind it, or tower, and but yeah, she's in the snow, she's got some fur on, she's showing some cleavage, and she's looking pretty good, that's for sure.
Of course, that's what you would point out.
I wasn't going to until I looked at the comment, the first one under it, and they're like, she must be freezing her chest.
That's so bad.
And I was like, all right.
My speculation with this photo is that, you know how, like, she's supposedly being imprisoned at first in the season? Well, this is totally her prison. It's, like, in the snowy part of Camelot that we haven't seen.
Good point.
I know.
Interesting idea. And that
I'm almost positive.
Yeah.
I might bet you $1 on that one.
Ooh, bets are good.
Yeah, that convinced that that's true.
Yeah.
Interesting idea.
I think so, too. Have you guys talked about the significance of the snow? Because there seems
to
be...
No, not really.
It's just odd. It's just an odd thing.
So, maybe we won't... Because I don't have any ideas right now. But maybe we'll find out later. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. Like, it's just all these, like, snowy shots. And I wonder if it's... Like,
and there's a wolf.
Yeah. What's up with the wolf? Is it a werewolf? Interesting.
Ooh, more magic.
There's just so many things that the trailer shows that you just wonder what they could be. And my question, in the new trailer, the guy that's talking about Arthur's Bane, have we seen him before or no?
Yes, I want to say.
He looks slightly familiar.
I want to say yes. What?
Okay, so next we are going to go to our interview we recorded with David Griffin. Courtney and I were able to interview him 2 days ago, and we got some great info from him. We had a great discussion with him, and we even had a little debate with him. So be sure to enjoy this interview, and there's lots of great things to hear.
Yeah, and be sure to check out David's Think Hero TV interviews as well.
Okay, so I'm here with Courtney, and we have David Griffin with us from Think Hero TV. David, thanks for joining us today.
No, thanks for having me, guys. This is a real honor. I'm excited.
Yeah, and as many of you know, David was at Comic-Con this year, and he got the opportunity to cover Merlin as a member of the press. So we decided we would get a hold of him and see if he'd be interested in coming on the show, and we'd ask him a few questions about Comic-Con and about his thoughts on Merlin in general. So we're really happy you could be with us today, and we're looking forward to the things we'll find out. The first thing we want to know, David, is if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got involved with Think Hero, and yeah, basically just, you know, a little bit about yourself.
Okay, yeah, no, I've been with Think Hero for about a year now, this is my first year going with Think Hero as press, which is really cool. So since we did some coverage on things last year, which I wasn't a part of, but some of the other people that worked with Think Hero were, we had the opportunity to interview, do more press lines, basically, which gave us access to TV shows like Merlin and some other shows that we cover on the website. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, Merlin's one of my favorite shows. I'm the only one on Think Hero who actually watches the show. So when I got the opportunity, got the letter from the press guy saying, "Do you want to cover Merlin?" I said, "Yeah." And asked our, camera guy to help us out. He's like, "Yeah, sure, I'll help you." So that was great. And of all the panels, which I guess we'll get into later, it was the most low key. They were probably the coolest people that we interviewed, because I think they're just not caught up in the whole American entertainment industry. They're still kind of isolated in England, which is awesome because everybody's
Right.
down to
Yeah, that
earth.
is
So
awesome.
I mean, it was a real treat to be able to interview him.
Right.
That's awesome. But so, David, you mentioned how you are the Merlin fan of Think Hero TV.
Yes.
How did you actually get interested in the show?
I think it was 2009. I think that's when it came on NBC, and I had no idea what the show was.
Yeah.
Saw this advertisement on NBC one night, and it said Merlin. And look at this. I said, "What is this?" And I saw it was a British show, so I watched it. And honestly, I just got through the first season. I didn't really do any research on it. And then I found out that it airs in BBC, over in England first, which of course always annoys me with great shows like Merlin,
I
Sherlock,
know.
Downton Abbey, all these shows. It's so
Yep.
frustrating. And so eventually, I think the rest came on Netflix through streaming or some other means, and I started catching up and watching more of it, and I just really liked it. Not to take anything away from the show or put it down, but I really, for the first couple seasons, didn't take it all that seriously. I didn't wasn't even really talking about it to anybody. I just kind of watched it because I was entertained by it. But then these last few seasons have just been
Right.
incredible. I mean, they've broadened the scope. It's gotten darker. The characters are more interesting. I mean, it's really gotten good over the last few seasons.
Yeah, I agree definitely. And I actually was one of those people too that saw it on NBC, and it was just kind of a deal where I saw the advertisement and I was like, "Oh, maybe I'll check that out." And I ended up watching it and I liked it. But then, NBC dropped it after that, so
Right.
I just kind of forgot about it for a while. And then I don't know if you've listened to our show, but I was actually in China a couple years, or well, about a year ago, and we were in this like back alley, like with these like sketchy shops, and I found the next season of Merlin on DVD there, and I ended up buying it.
Nice.
So it was really a
That's
weird
so
way to
good.
get back involved with the show, but yeah, from there I just kind of got hooked, and I looked it up more and found out that it was on BBC, and I watched some of the other seasons online. But yeah, it's kind of one of those shows where I think it's really matured over time, and they did talk
Right.
about that a little bit at the panel. So I think it's starting to take some more serious plot lines, and people are starting to take the show more seriously, like you said. But so you got the opportunity to interview some of the stars, and we were curious exactly how that worked. Were you? I saw most of your interviews were under 2 minutes. So was there like a certain time frame you had, and certain things you were allowed to ask, or how did that work?
Yeah, like I was saying before, Merlin is they were the most low key. Like, just to give you an example, like we did the Vampire Diaries, CW show. So those stars, you have Ian Somerhalder or Nina Dobrev. They're, it's a lot more. It's a lot harder to interview them. Like, it's fast. You might only get one question. As with the Merlin people, the nice thing is that we were allowed to ask 2 to 3 questions. But the
Oh,
problem
okay.
is, oh, it's a good problem. But guys like Colin and Katie, you ask them a couple questions, they're very in depth and very in tune to the characters. So you have like these publicists in the background, they're PR people kind of purring you along, and there's other people in line in the press line next to you with I mean, you're literally separated by like 2 feet. So like, IGN website might be next to you, or Access Hollywood's right on the other side of you, and you're all crammed in there and everybody's looking at you, listening to what you're saying and kind of like, okay, buddy, hurry it up. So but the nice thing was is that the cast was so nice, very engaging and very easy to talk to, and weren't pretentious at all. Just made it a lot easier. But yeah, no, we're only allowed to ask 2 to 3 questions max. So I would have loved to have talked to those guys more, but I only got a few questions in. Oh, and I'll just say another thing. I wasn't
Right.
prepared to interview the executive producer, Julian, I think, one of the EPs. I didn't even know he was going to be on the
Yeah.
press line, and he was, I think he was the first person we interviewed. And I told Dennis to, I was like, oh man, I don't even know what to ask the guy. So I remember the last year's panel, he talked about, I don't know, like shooting 35. I asked him some technical questions that I figured he'd find interesting, and he
Right.
explained that some more and asked him about, guest appearances next season. But yeah, it was a fun, it was my first time ever doing a press line, ever. So I really enjoyed it though.
Well, I would
Yeah.
never have been able to tell based on your interview with Julian that you weren't prepared. That was great. Saw
Oh,
that.
thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
aside from the obvious pressures of like the surroundings with a ton of
press and people. Were you nervous about interviewing the cast members at all?
Yes, because well, yeah, because honestly, I was nervous in general because one, you see these people on on screen, and I don't think I'm easily starstruck, but I guess I do get just like anybody else. I get butterflies, I get jittery, and seeing especially Katie's, she's really pretty, she's cute, and she's I was surprised at just how much of a nerd she is. So that
Yes,
really that
love.
got me excited. I know, like I asked her, because someone told me she was, so I asked her, and she's like, "Yeah, did you see the Batmobiles outside? Because outside the hotel we were interviewing, they had every single Batmobile from all the movies." And she knew that. She looked at my shirt. She's like, "You got a Batman shirt on? That's awesome!" And she opened up about how in England she can't really geek out. I guess people think it's weird over there to geek out. But
Right.
she, I think she referred to it as Comic-Con. The people were her brethren, I think is the word she used. So, yeah,
Yeah.
it eased me a little bit. It kind of brought me at ease interviewing, especially Katie. She was probably the easiest to talk to. Colin, he's a nice guy, but he looked tired. I can't blame him because I mean he's in LA. It was 9 in the morning when we did the interview, and I'm sure he's jet lagged and all that. But he wasn't. I don't think even though his answers were really good, wasn't as into it. But Angel and Glenn and Katie, I think, were the most energetic of the cast.
Yeah. It just makes
Right.
me
And
laugh that
I did.
Oh, go ahead, Aaron.
Go ahead. Go no,
Oh,
go ahead, Courtney.
okay. It makes me laugh that Katie said, she can't geek out so much back in England because all of the things that I geek out about are from BBC. So, Sherlock, Doctor Who, Merlin, you name it, but a little ironic.
Was,
Yeah, and I
oh, and
did
I
see
guess.
that
Colin Morgan. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, I was gonna say I'm trying to remember all this stuff that's coming back to me. I guess for those of you wondering, or people are wondering out there, I don't know if you guys have addressed this in your podcast already, but I got a chance to talk to one of the BBC. I don't know if he exactly what he did. Maybe he helped, work for BBC. I asked him about what's up with the delay with the shows, and I guess he said that because some of the taxpayer money goes towards shooting and production costs or something like that, I think the people over there in the UK kind of demand or expect that they get the show first. So he said that's usually why there's a delay. It's just a money
Right.
issue, or else it would come to the States at the same time. But I think it's because of the taxpayer money. So I know that was an interesting thing I learned.
Yeah, that's actually something I didn't know, and I'm glad you told us that because that's something we've always kind of wondered why there was such a delay. The thing I was going to
Right.
say is you had mentioned that Katie mentioned the Batmobiles outside, and I saw they had some pictures where Colin Morgan actually went out there and he geeked out a little bit with the Batmobiles too, so that was
That's
pretty cool to
good.
see he was a Batman fan as well.
I mean,
But
it's
yeah,
yeah.
I was gonna ask. Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead, Aaron. Go ahead.
I was just gonna ask you which of the cast of Merlin you thought was the most down to earth, but you kind of already answered that as far as it being Angel and Katie more than Colin. So.
Right. Well, I guess what threw me off about Colin, and not he's a really nice guy. Like I asked him, I said, "How you doing?" He stopped and said, "Hey, how are you doing, man?" Like that was nice. And most people don't do that when you interview him. But yeah, he was he's just so much, as you can probably tell from the interview, so much darker and serious, because his character on TV, he's very, he's goofy and he almost seems like a kid in his personality. But,
Yeah.
that thick accent that he has and everything, his voice is a lot deeper in real life. I don't think I'd ever actually seen him interviewed, so that kind of threw me off. But yeah, Katie, what's cool about Katie is that she was, the publicist would say, okay, you need to interview this person now, you need to go to this person. She's just bouncing around and, moving, briskly and walking back and forth. She was always smiling. She never, her smile never went away. She was just happy to be at Comic-Con. And again, I keep referencing this, but like we did the Spartacus panel and the Vampire Diaries panel, and especially the Vampire Diaries panel, like the celebrities there didn't seem to be as happy to be there. They were just kind of like, this is another press line. I've done 1,000 of these in the last 2 weeks. It's no big deal. But the Merlin cast,
Right.
even Colin, like they all seemed like they were, help thankful to be there. Like, wow, we're getting all this recognition and this is cool.
Yeah. I heard lots of laughter in the background of that panel, so that's good. Good sign.
Yeah, I know. I think I saw this. We're going to talk about this, but about the panel. The only thing that stinks about doing the press lines is you can't go to the panels. So I wasn't able to go to some of the panels I wanted to because the press lines are either before, directly before the panel, or right after. So either way, you have to get, to the press room, which is across the street from the convention hall in another hotel early, like a half hour early to set up. So I actually, the only way I got news about anything I wanted to pay attention to, whether it was comic books, video games, or Merlin, was either from you guys, from your tweets, or other people tweeting, or people texting me from not who weren't even at the convention, being like, "Dave, did you hear about this thing that was just released, this new news?" I'm like, "No, man, I'm stuck in this hotel room, setting up a camera, waiting to interview somebody." So I actually didn't get to hear all the breaking news until I got home back to LA and got to go on Twitter and see everybody's posts and all that. Yeah, so I missed out on all that, groundbreaking, cool reveals and all that stuff.
Right. It sounds like you need some more Merlin fans on Think Hero to help you out
I
with
know.
the
I
coverage.
do. Well, I was gonna tell you guys, back to talking about the delay with the episode. It's really hard to do the reviews of the show because, we have to send our stuff to, publicists to get interviews and to try to get press stuff. So we can't review the show early, even though I know most people watch it, even in the States, we're tweeting about it the night it airs in London, are still watching it. So I shot one review and it was, I don't know, I think it was in January, when it came out on Sci-Fi for this last season. And the thing is, the people who watched it or who commented on it were like, "Oh, I've already seen this episode. Oh, this is cool, but we watched this like 6 months ago." And then people were asking, like, "Well, how come you don't review the show early?" I'm like, "Well, I could, but it probably wouldn't look good for people, like the press people that like watch our stuff. Like, it's kind of not legal, so I can't really watch it early, even, or I can't review it early." So, yeah. So that's. I wish I could do more coverage of Merlin, when it airs and over in the UK.
You had mentioned that you didn't really get to go to that much Merlin stuff or really hear about it, but what was your favorite Merlin-related part of Comic-Con?
Oh, remember the part. Well, I guess just because that's all I really was able to do was the interview itself, just meeting everybody. It was cool. Like I said, that was probably the time I was, the most nervous or got jittery, was just seeing, waiting for the cast to come into the little, this little like basically meeting room, a little press room, and they all came in and just seeing Colin and Katie and Angel, and it was just cool. Just, I don't know, it was just weird being able to talk to them. And it sounds corny, but like you, I love British shows, so being able to hear the British accents and all that,
Yes.
that was probably I love that. So that's probably the most exciting thing. And then when I, get back to the hotel at night, checking Twitter and stuff and seeing all these interesting reveals. Oh, I was gonna say, what I was excited about, what Julian talked about, the executive producer, with some of the guest stars that were coming back. I love that Lindsay Duncan, who plays Queen Annis, is coming back. Because I don't know if you guys ever watched it, but I love that older HBO show Rome, that was out a few years, I think back in 2005, and she was a lead actress in that. She was awesome. So I remember when I first saw her on Merlin, I was like, "Oh, this is great!" And then I think I tweeted out that morning before the interviews, like, "Hey, does anybody have any questions they want me to ask?" And somebody asked, "Yeah, ask about returning characters that are coming back." And I asked them, and meeting all these people, and I recognized her. And then I was really happy to see Liam Cunningham because I love Game of Thrones. So, he's in Game of Thrones now and will be next season. So I was like, "Oh, he's taking time, to do Merlin while he's doing Game of Thrones." I'm like, "That's awesome. He's a great actor too, another great Irish actor." So, yeah, I think those are just some of the reveals, just seeing who was going to come back next season and being able to interview them.
Right, and it's so nice because Merlin has such a vast like group of characters, and some of them, they make guest appearances, but the fact that they're bringing some of them back shows you that they really value some of those people. I saw he mentioned to you that Mithian, the lady that plays Princess Mithian, she'll be back too. So I have a
Okay.
feeling Arthur's gonna have to deal with some issues with other kingdoms, would be my guess. But I guess we'll see what happens with that. I guess one of the things I wanted to ask you was, in your opinion, what were some of the biggest things you thought that came out about this next season of Merlin, at Comic-Con? To
All
you,
right,
what were the things that excited you the most?
well, yeah, I was gonna say I like the fact that we're getting older Mordred. I think that's cool.
Yeah,
With
me too.
because has it been 3 years? How many years has it been since last season? I mean, in the show
Three, I
time,
believe.
3 years.
Yeah, I
I'm
think
also
it was three.
happy. I was gonna say I'm also happy we're gonna see some showdowns between Guinevere and Morgana. That's gonna be cool. I want to see. But say, I think you guys were talking. I think I listened to one of your podcasts. You guys were talking about how you kind of like to see Gwen maybe do a little bit more, have more interesting storylines. So I think this might be the year for her. to have the most interesting story. And yeah, I mean, I hope, I don't know when this is going to happen, but I really want Merlin to, you know, talk to Arthur and them to figure out what's going on. Like, you know, to really, the whole secrecy thing just went on for almost, what, this is going to be the fifth season now?
Yeah.
It's like, I want everything to get out
the
in the open
reveal.
Now. Like, yeah, big reveal. So that would be nice. And, yeah, the guest appearances I'm excited to see. Yeah, I don't know. There's so much stuff going on, but I'm excited to see all of it. I think it's going to be, I hope, a great season, just because, you know, I think the Julian at my interview him said that the show's going to get, you know, darker and darker. It's going to be probably the darkest season, which is cool.
Yeah. And what did you think about Anthony Head, that they revealed that Anthony Head would be back this season to play Uther some more? What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's great. I mean, he's huge at Comic-Con, you know, because, you know, the whole Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So, you know, people love him at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
No, that's, I think that's cool. I mean, he's such a, I think, again, going off what you guys were saying on your podcast, that, you know, his character isn't that likable as a character. I mean, his acting is awesome, but his character, Uther, is just, he gets
right,
annoying
right.
because he keeps holding Arthur back and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But,
yeah,
I mean, I think, weren't you guys going over theories about it? Like, how do you guys think he's going to come back? Is it going to be a dream sequence, like, or like a ghost, like some Shakespearean kind of motif going on there?
Well, we asked a lot of people on Twitter, and I think one of the biggest responses we got was that, I mean, you've seen in these few trailers the whole talk about the Bane of Arthur, and people
right.
are thinking that the Bane of Arthur is Uther, and that the two of them can't really exist together. So, whether he comes back through sorcery or through some other, actually, it's probably going to be magic. That's really the only way you could explain it. We think it might start out as a good thing that Uther's back, but I think eventually it's going to become an issue between Arthur and Uther as far as what's going on. And, you know, Arthur's king now, so Uther being back, I'm sure, is going to cause some conflict with the ruling. So
right.
it's going to be interesting, that's for sure. Courtney, what were you thinking?
I mean, I was a big proponent of the dream theory just because I kind of wanted Arthur to wake up from it and for Uther to just be gone because he does annoy me. Sorry, Anthony Head, I love you, but I don't know, but I've been looking into the legend a little bit more, and it does seem like the Bane theory is much more likely, and I think it's probably going to be through some magic, and he's going to be around for maybe like a double episode, one of those to be continued things, and then maybe he'll be gone, or maybe it'll be a motif throughout the entire season. I don't know, but I kind of hope not.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, I guess you've already answered that, though. You didn't get a chance to attend one of the signings, did you, with the cast?
Just in Comic-Con in general, I wanted to do so much more. I think I went to like 2 or 3 panels total through the 5 days I was there. It's just because we're doing so much press stuff that I never had time to stand in line. Because the problem with the big shows, like Merlin, especially, you know, Doctor Who, Supernatural, like, you know, those shows that have a big, huge fan base, you really have to wait in line for at minimum maybe 2 to 3 hours to get into those panels. So, or even a signing's going to take
wow.
a while. So I just never got to go to any of that. But I did see, I think they had some highlights on BBC or something on YouTube about the signing. It looked cool. I mean, I don't know. Courtney, you would have liked this. They were giving away those I Am Sherlock T-shirts, BBC T-shirts.
Oh my gosh!
They're also giving away Merlin T-shirts too. And I wanted to get. I just never
wow.
got a chance to do any of that, but I wanted to. It looked like fun.
Oh,
yeah.
Free BBC stuff is just best gifts ever.
I love swag.
Someone get me a TARDIS mug, a Sherlock. I don't know anything. But were you able to see the Series 5 trailer that was released at all while you were there, or was that one of those, like, you checked Twitter afterwards kind of things?
Yeah, I didn't see that till I got back home, back out after it was over. Yeah, I got to see it. But I think, yeah, today I just, we were talking about earlier, I just got to watch the new promo, the minute and a half long one with the music from Muse, the band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's I like that trailer. It was cool. I don't know what's going on with guys, you know, his hair, but, you know, I don't know.
No one does. No one's sure about that.
Like, why is it so long? But no, it looks great. I mean, I love seeing Guinevere, like, you know, with her queen, you know, outfit on, you know. Yeah, I'm really excited for
Yeah,
it.
and I think, oh, you know, they had the first Series 5 trailer at Comic-Con, and it was like, you know, a very small tidbit. And then the next one that came out last week was, I think, really just kind of a modified version of this trailer. So really, those first two trailers were just kind of small parts of this one that we saw today. So you really, I don't think you've missed a ton with that. Although I would have liked to see the bloopers. I know that, you know, there's a few people that have kind of
Oh,
illegally
yeah.
filmed the
Right.
bloopers, but you don't get a full feel for it. I'm sure they'll release it eventually with the new Merlin official YouTube channel. So
And that's what we got
we're
to
looking
see.
forward to that.
We got to see that last year. Again, this is before I had press badge and all that, so I was just sitting in the panel watching it. Yeah, we got to see the bloopers for last season, and
Right.
yeah, that was a lot of fun. That's the kind of stuff that I miss, even though I don't know. I guess it's kind of a trade-off because you actually get to meet the cast personally and talk to them, but you don't get the it may sound a little corny, and just me being a geek, but you don't get the fan energy, you know, like being with the fans and being, you know, in a room with 2,000 people. They're just dedicated completely to Merlin and are loving every moment and cheering, and you know, you don't get that. So I kind of missed that being pressed this year. It was fun to actually meet the cast, but I kind of missed being with the fans.
Right. So yeah, we've discussed the trailers here, and I think everyone's really excited. I personally, it was nice to see a change in music because I'm a Muse fan, and the fact that, you know, you never really heard any modern music with a Merlin trailer, as far as I've seen anyway. So it's cool that they're kind of making the trailers a little more mainstream. And I think the show itself actually is gaining a lot more popularity these last few seasons. I've looked at the ratings and stuff, and it seems to be that way. So I'm
Right.
really excited for what the future holds. And I don't know if
Yeah.
you saw, but like the last day of Comic-Con, Merlin was trending on Twitter for just about the whole day,
Oh,
which was
wow.
huge for
Yeah.
Merlin in general. Yeah.
I
It
mean,
was like basically, it was at least 6 hours of Merlin trending, so.
it's crazy at Comic-Con. I say, I hope you guys get to go next year because it's weird that the TV shows are in some ways bigger than the movies. Like, okay, for instance, like if
Right.
you might have heard of this whole thing with Hall H and people camping outside overnight for like 2 days. Like it's weird, like with Hall H, you'll have like a show, like a movie like Twilight, you know, which is, you know, huge, like in terms of, you know, worldwide box office and people that go see it. But like there'll be 500 empty seats in Hall H. You go to the Doctor Who panel or a Merlin panel in a smaller room and there's not an empty seat at all, which you would think that Twilight or something like that would have a bigger audience. The people that are most fanatical are actually the TV fans. I think it's because when they go to those panels in between a season, so it takes place, you know, Comic-Con's in July, so the new shows come out in the fall, and everybody wants to see footage, they want to
Yeah.
know what's going to go on. So I think, which is awesome, I think that the TV shows actually get more attention at Comic-Con than the movies, which is awesome.
Right. And I think because TV shows, you know, they draw out over a couple months,
Right.
people are into the show for a lot longer than when you see a movie, and the effect of a movie usually wears off on you after, you know, a couple weeks of seeing that movie. So that
Yeah.
might be part of the reason as well. So yeah, what in particular would you like to see improve in the next season? I know on our show we've talked about one of the things we'd really like to see, and I know Julian Murphy mentioned you that they have their own in-house CGI team now, is we'd like to see a
Yes.
little more effects for Merlin's magic. I know in season 4 his magic seemed to be just about the same in every spell he casts, so that's one thing we'd like to see improve, but we were curious on your thoughts.
I think that's a big one. Julian talked about the in-house special effects because, and he even said this, you know, I was asking him about it, you know, he talked about how he didn't mention the name of the show, but I'm assuming he was referring to it, that, you know, fantasy shows now, especially shows like Game of Thrones on HBO, and it's not really fair because HBO has a ton of money to throw at stuff. I mean, their stuff looks like it's, I mean, all their shows,
Yeah.
whether you like them or not, they look like, you know, it's a full-length movie, but, you know,
Yeah, they
special
do.
effects, you know, budgets are getting bigger. So I love that he said that they are making the effort to try not to make the show like that, but at least to, yeah, give it some more flair, some more style, which I'm looking forward to seeing. And I don't mean to pick on her because, again, that's why I feel bad because actually being able to meet Katie, I was like, wow, she's awesome. She's a cool person. Like, I would like to hang out with her just to chill with her, talk to her about stuff. But I don't know if it's her choice or the producers or the writers, but she, even though they lessened it a little bit in this last season, she has really got to cut out that whole evil eye glare look. Like, I think she's
Oh, it's so
overdoing the,
intense.
oh, it's like, we get you evil. I get it. You don't need to like do the eye thing. I understand you're the bad guy. I get it. Because she, I thought it was cool. I asked her about, if there's any redemption for a character. Can Morgana redeem herself? And, Katie doesn't believe that she's beyond redemption, but the way they portray her character, she's almost comical evil, like a comic book character, like ha 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 ha, evil. So
Right.
I think I'd like to see, 'cause I know she can act, so I think she can pull it off. I want to see her character be a little bit more ambiguous, and
Right.
a little bit more range of her being evil instead of just the glaring at the camera all the time.
Right.
So
Yeah.
and it kind of even almost remind me of, shows where and especially in series 5, you saw Morgana a lot of the time just using Agravain as her tool. Like, she
Right.
never really did any of the bidding as much as she sent Agravain to do things for her, or, she'd enchant something, or she'd cause some sort of disturbance. But she never really took a central role until that last episode. And I know that's one of the things that kind of bothered us about season 5 was just the amount of time they spent with Agravain doing all her dirty work. It got a little monotonous after a while, so I don't know what you thought about Agravain in general, but
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of interesting, but I mean, I think, yeah, the central turmoil in the show or conflict is always, between Morgana, Arthur, and Merlin. Like, that's always gonna be the most interesting thing. So yeah, I think, like, I agree with you completely. I think Agravain was just more of like a sidekick, a guy who did bidding, but
yeah.
he wasn't as a standalone character that interesting. That's why I'm hoping, like, Julian was talking about, like, bringing back some of these, different cast members and guest stars to portray villains. But I guess I was going to ask you guys about this, just to ask your opinion. I think series or the last season did the best job of this so far, but what do you think about the whole, like, episodic versus, like, story arc? Like, shows, like Lord of the Rings type movie has this big arc that it's telling, and the first couple seasons of Merlin, they had, just episodes that were just adventure stories, like, okay, we're going to do this, and this, and then the episode's over. I think the last season was really good at having a big story to tell, but there were still a few, I thought, filler episodes. Are you guys, like,
Oh,
you
there
guys,
were.
yeah, I mean, do you guys hope that this season is less of that? I mean, does that kind of annoy you too a little
Courtney, I'll let you speak to this first because I
bit?
know you personally tend
No.
to hate some of those filler episodes.
I hate the filler episodes so much. The thing is, I didn't used to because it used to be pretty much all that we got in the first few seasons. And
Right.
I do like some of the adventure stories, like Arthur having to, like, do that big coming of age trip and Merlin following
Yeah, that was
him.
big.
That was a good one. I really liked that. Very pleased. But I don't know, like Gaius being possessed by the gremlin goblin thing, not impressive. I would say I liked this season a lot more because I think, with the exception of the Lamia episode,
Oh,
all
yeah,
of
that was a
like
big negative on
I feel like, yeah, oh,
our
that was
opinions.
very poor ratings. I think the rest of them, if they seemed like filler episodes during the season, they may come back eventually, like the Ithusa episode, the little white dragon with a very ambiguous name pronunciation. He I think that definitely obviously came back the last scene of the season, but I think that that's just going to be a really big deal. And I'm very impressed by the writing this season. I think that it's improving as much as the rest of the show is, and the acting included. I think it's getting just so much better.
I was just curious too,
Right.
just to get your guys' opinion again. What do you think about the show's running time? I'm not running time in terms of per episode, but just how many seasons have been out? I mean, we have this is approaching, 5 years now. I'm like, are you like, would you like to see the show have kind of an end goal or an end game? I mean, like, maybe 2 more seasons, or are you just happy for it to keep going? Because you know how some shows after, 6 or 7 seasons, it's hard for it to, stay as good as it used to.
Right.
It kind of died. I mean, you
Yeah.
guys, I mean, I was just wondering what you guys thought about that.
Well, in my opinion, this show in general, I feel like its quality is still increasing, and I still feel like they haven't reached their full potential yet. I
Right.
know a lot of shows, they run out of material after a while, and I watched The Office. I don't know if you watched The Office, but after Steve Carell left, the show now is just they're really just kind of stretch it out a little longer, and I think just to make some more money off advertising. I don't want it to turn into something like that, but I feel like right now, because Arthurian legend is such a vast topic, then there's so much that they could cover. I really feel like they could really go at least 2 or 3 more seasons before they run out of things to talk about. And I know that was actually another question we wanted to ask you, was what your thoughts on this potential movie trilogy that they might do after series 5. I personally would rather they continue with the episodes
Yeah, me too.
than start with this whole movie franchise, but what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean that's really interesting because I never I didn't even know about that until I listened to you guys' podcast. I don't know. Yeah, like I guess my fears, and I think you guys have expressed this too, is that I mean we don't know how they're gonna approach this. So I don't want to see another origin story or start over again. You know, I mean if they're gonna tell basically the
Right.
same story they're telling now, I mean, or I mean, I hate to throw this around. I mean, I because I do a comic book segment on Think Hero, so I always throw comic book stuff in there. But I mean, they could do like the same cast, but tell it like the story a different way because there's so many ways the Arthurian legend is told, and there's different stories. I mean, they could almost do a new interpretation of something, almost like an Elseworld or like a different world, different story there. Sorry, I use a comic book terminology, but yeah. I mean,
Yeah,
I think
no.
that would be cool. But I guess my fear is like you guys were talking about. I just don't want to see him start over again, and I hope they don't get a new cast. I'd like to see the same cast. I think they work so
I
well
know.
together.
I think that would devastate a lot of people if they did,
Right.
so I hope they don't end up doing that. I honestly would rather just see them continue with the series, and not worry about movies, at least for now, just because they've got such a good thing going, and I feel like the popularity is just growing, and right now it's their time to shine and really take center stage, so hopefully they don't try and change that up, but I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Courtney, do you want to ask that last one?
Sure. I actually have a question that, well, do you think that Arthur is ready to hear Merlin's big secret? That's to both of you. Do you guys think that Arthur, as he was at the end of this season, is ready?
Well, I
Go
guess
ahead,
I'll
Aaron.
go first. I think it's hard to say right now because after last season, when you had the episode where Merlin came as Emrys and tried to heal Uther, that oh okay sorry, this is something that happens regularly on our podcast, David. There's a fire whistle that goes off in my town for curfew at 10 o'clock, so we have to wait a second for
Curfew at
the
10 o'clock.
alarm
Wait,
to go off.
Do
Oh,
I have to
it's
look
like
at this?
if kids,
Wait.
kids that are under 18, they're not supposed to be wandering the streets after 10, so this is kind of a warning
Oh.
to go in your houses.
I thought you sounded
But
like under martial law or something like
yeah, for real.
that.
I can't leave, I'm trapped here. But
That's awesome. Yeah,
yeah.
he's sending out an
Anyways.
SOS.
Yeah. As I was saying, when Emrys came back and tried to bring Uther basically back to life and save him from dying, and that failed because obviously of Morgana, I feel like that really damaged Arthur's. And because Arthur was really starting to give magic a chance, and I think a lot of people were like, "Oh, this is it. This is where Arthur's gonna really start to respect magic." And then it had to be ruined by Morgana, and it was really traumatic for Merlin. And I feel like that really damaged the whole magical relationship. The one time I will say towards the end of the season, I believe it was the episode "A Herald of New Age" when Elian, he drank out of the water at the druid camp,
Right.
and then he had all those hallucinations. At the end, when Arthur apologized to the druid boy and said that he would make more of an effort to have druids and other magical creatures be accepted in the kingdom, I feel like that was a big step for him, and I think he's starting to realize that it's something that he needs to know. I feel like it's getting closer to the time where Arthur's ready to hear, but I'm not sure if he's ready just yet. I feel like I feel like Arthur, blah. I feel like Merlin needs to do a few more things to really convince Arthur that magic is a good thing before he's ready to hear the truth. So that's my thoughts.
Right. I was gonna say, I guess if there's, I agree with you. I think it's gonna be tough if he can even handle that. But I guess if there's any, if I have any hope, it's gonna use the same episode you were talking about in the beginning there, with Arthur and Uther, when he was dying. But I also want to look at how Arthur dealt with Guinevere and how I think he has forgiveness in him. You know, he now granted
Yeah.
an affair, cheating on somebody's, well, they're both horrible, but I mean, it's not as bad. Oh no, well, they're both bad, but I mean, somebody you fuck somebody's death. Like, your father seems worse than maybe cheating. I mean, in that moment, or for TV drama, I don't know. I think Arthur can forgive, because I asked Angel, Guinevere at Comic-Con about, you know, if they were ever going to address that, if they were going to bring up the fact that, hey, she was bewitched, she didn't really cheat on him, you know, it wasn't her fault. And, but she said, no, like, they moved on from that. They're not going to address that anymore. So I think Arthur can forgive. I think he would be accepting. And I think he, even though it sounds corny, I think he has loved, Merlin just as much as Gwen, of course, in a bromance kind of way.
Yes,
bromance. Yeah, bromance. Absolutely. I love bromance.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think there is some hope for that, but, Aaron, I agree with you too. That's going to be hard. I mean, I don't know if they'll do it this season. Maybe that's how the season will end.
Right, yeah. So I think that'll be interesting, and I feel like when that happens, it's certainly going to change the dynamic of the show. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. I really hope they'll do it this season, but you never know, I guess. While you were talking earlier, I remembered there was a quote that I wanted to mention to you about, you know, they talked about how the series is getting darker and everything, and someone asked Julian Right. Murphy about that, and he said, well, you know, it's taking a darker path, and it's not really at the point where it's more of a, I guess you'd say a more mature rated show, but the thing he said was, well, we won't do rape or incest.
But Ew. He acted like, Ew, yeah.
Those two things were just like the only things that he wouldn't do. He's like, there's a lot like more things he could have brought up besides that, but it was just a really
like,
funny
that's
quote
reassuring.
That he said.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
he's like, that's not
yeah,
that dark. We're not doing rape or incest.
Right. Cause I mean, it's so hard. And that's why I didn't bring up any show names, but it's so hard because, like, you know, with fantasy now, I mean, I want to say, you know, Game of Thrones is the biggest kid on the block right now. I mean, so everybody knows it.
Yeah,
if they're not
absolutely.
Watching the show, and there is rape. And I mean, that's just how the books are. It's really mature. It's super dark. And yeah, I would never want Merlin to get that dark because then that would just be, well, I don't think he'd even do that on BBC anyway, but that would just be weird, you know, to see, like, start getting, like, nudity and stuff. It's like, okay, easy. But,
right.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard because, like, when you're talking about fantasy, yeah, like, you don't want to, like, when you're talking, like, let's say to Julian Murphy, you don't want to be like, hey, like, so what do you think about Game of Thrones? Like, it's a pretty cool show, right? You know? So, yeah, I want to know how dark they're going to get. Like, I mean, I'm curious to see where this season's going to go.
Right. And I'm actually kind of happy that Game of Thrones came out and became so big while Merlin was being filmed, because I feel like it puts a little more pressure on them to make their show a little more mature. Even if they weren't planning on it, they kind of have to at this point. To really compete. So I like that aspect, that it's kind of moved away from being, I mean, I'd say it's still a family show, but there's definitely some more mature topics that they're covering. So one last thing we wanted to do with you is we have a debate segment we usually do on the show, and we figured we'd get you in on it. So what we're going to do is discuss who we think the darkest and greatest villain so far on Merlin has been. And the three choices we're working with here are Nimue, Morgana, and Morgause. Now, I know we talked about it earlier, but we'll give you first pick. Which one of those three would you like to argue your case for? David, I'm talking to you.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to go with Morgana.
Okay, all right. That's fine. I gave you the option, I guess. So, Courtney, you're going to cover Morgause, and I'll cover Nimue.
Excellent.
Do you want to start, Courtney?
Oh, yes. You know how competitive right, I get.
I'll put you on the clock.
Oh, boy. All right. Okay. I genuinely think that Morgause is the most effective villain in the show because you can see in Morgana the basically the fruit of her efforts. Look at Morgana in season 1. She's this sweet, sweet, sweet girl who has a weird, like, crushy relationship on Arthur. It's strange. But as Morgause gets her, like, claws into her, she just pollutes her into this, like, terrible villain that we're still having to deal with now. And Morgause is lethal with weaponry. She's, you know, highly trained. She has revenge. You know, like, that motivation for revenge on her side. She just has instilled so much hatred in this very pure Morgana, and she's so manipulative, and I don't know, I just think that She's a truly terrifying, she was a truly terrifying villain, and I don't know, I couldn't watch the episodes with her on it alone or when it was nighttime.
Okay. I'm gonna have to stop you there.
Done.
All right, fair enough. I'll go next. Personally, I'm gonna have to say Nimue on this one, just because Nimue is really the original villain in this series of Merlin, and we got to see so many interesting experiences with Nimue, as far as Nimue was always causing all this havoc in Camelot that you really didn't see as much with Morgose or Morgana. You know, Nimue really, she would send these evil creatures into Camelot. Particularly, one of our favorites was the Black Knight that came in, which was just like this undead guy that came back for revenge. And I think one of the biggest things that really put an edge on Nimue was when she confronted Uther about how Uther was the one who hired her to have Egrain bear a child, and then once it happened and Egrain died, he banished Nimue and he declared magic to be such an evil thing. So she has this really deadly grudge. Well, she's dead now, so or at least we think she's dead. Who knows? They might bring her back. They tend to do that. But she had such a grudge on Camelot and such a grudge on Uther that I feel like her rage was maybe the most justified out of what we've seen from villains so far in this show. I feel like Morgose kind of was the rebel without a cause. Morgana definitely has some reasons to be angry, but I really feel like Nimue was the most justified in what she was doing. So that's my thoughts. And David, Morgana.
Okay, three or God. Well, first off, I'm gonna have to go back to this. She has the classic villain look, you know. I love the, you know, she just has the evil eye going. She has the kind of the smirk and the laugh that you'd expect a villain to have. What I do characteristically, what I like about her is you just don't see her coming. She's very good at playing the kind of nice, sweet, innocent girl. There's a, I can't remember the episode's name, but one episode when, you know, she takes Uther out to her father's grave. And, you know, she's kind of being deceitful, and, you know, Uther has no idea, and you just don't see her coming. You know, she's unpredictable. I think she's unpredictable
Right.
because she wasn't always bad. Like, when we first see Morgose, that's, you only get kind of one version of her. She's like, okay, she's got the things she wants to do, she has a mission, that's what she's going to do. But with Morgana, we've seen all these different facets of her, and it seems like with each passing season that she's getting darker and darker and darker. So there's just no telling. Like, whereas Morgose, I thought was just kind of even, like she had this thing about her, but that's all she was ever going to be. But Morgana, I don't know how bad she's going to be or how good she could be. And I think that makes it a little scarier. And plus, you know, she's playing with all this dark magic now, which is really interesting, you know, becoming a sorceress. So yeah, I'm going to have to stick with Morgana.
Right. Okay. Fair
All right.
enough. And the one person we didn't mention was Mordred, which I feel like in this season you're going to hear a lot more about Mordred, and you'll have a lot more to talk about with Mordred. Because right now we saw him make some appearances in the earlier seasons, but I think this is going to be his season to really shine. So that'll be an interesting add to the series. But how are we going to judge this one? It's kind of hard because we didn't have a somebody on the outside.
I
I
know.
guess
Need
we
a
can.
referee.
I know.
I'll have Andrew or Sarah, one of our other hosts, when they listen to this, actually when we cover the episode tomorrow, we'll have one of them decide who the winner is. That way, it's someone neutral. So,
Yeah.
David, there was one. We did get one tweet while we were recording. At Diane Webb 13 was wondering what your favorite part of being at Comic Con was overall, and what your plans are on going back next year.
Oh, okay. So, favorite part. This is probably, well, there's a couple. I have a couple favorite parts, but okay. So, one of them, the first being getting to interview the cast of Merlin. That was awesome. Getting to meet everybody, talk to them face to face. That was cool. I had another time. This is the first time I actually went into the press area. I think this was on Thursday or Friday, first couple days. And I had to, I was walking down the hall, and all of a sudden, the entire cast of Firefly walked out. They were there for their 10th anniversary. So Joss Whedon, Nathan Fillion, Summer Glau, Adam Baldwin all walked out. And then literally 5 minutes later, I was walking down the other end of the hall just to actually get ready to go into the room, and the entire cast of The Walking Dead was walking towards me. And I was like, oh, it's The
Oh,
Walking Dead. It's the
wow.
whole cast. I mean, Rick, you know, the new character Michonne is, I mean, everybody was there. And,
Right.
I just realized, even though the fans weren't around, it was just weird just being like in a hallway with just like me and then them. So those are really cool, just geek out moments. And you don't have to be, you know, people are thinking about going, I recommend going. You don't have to be in the press to see people. You always see some of your favorite characters from shows walking around somewhere. I'm definitely going back next year. I wouldn't miss it. Like I always tell everybody, it's worth it. I know it's easy for me to say I live in LA, so it's like a 2-hour drive to San Diego, but if there's any way you can get out to the West Coast, it's definitely worth the trip.
Right. And I had one other question for you. This was kind of non-Merlin related, so I want to ask you at the end, but what are the other shows that you follow? And I'd say, I guess, what are your top 5 favorite TV shows that you watch?
Oh, wow.
That's if you tough. Can rank them.
Okay, so I might do. Is it okay if I do like top 7 or 8? I'll say it real fast.
Yeah, go ahead. That's fine.
Okay. 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 So we cover, you know, a bunch of shows on ThinkHero.com is where you can find our videos, or ThinkHero TV is where our YouTube channel is. But some of the shows that we review are my favorite. So Merlin, of course, is one of them. Love Merlin. Then I'd probably go Game of Thrones, Boardwalk Empire, Mad Men, Breaking Bad, Star Wars, The Clone Wars. I love that show on Cartoon Network. It's really good. Don't let Clone Wars fool you. Don't worry about the, like, oh, it's like the prequels. Like, George Lucas is far away from that, so he has nothing to do with it. It's really good.
Andrew would be so happy. Andrew's one of our hosts, and he's obsessed with Star Wars.
Oh, it's such a good show. Downton Abbey, BBC. That's PBS, but Downton Abbey is good. Sherlock, of course. Love Sherlock.
Yes.
Well, I'm probably meaning like 1-9 now. I love Sherlock. Luther, if you ever get a chance, Idris Elba, is a great actor. It's a small show. If you have Netflix, you can stream it. Luther is a great show on BBC as well. Those are probably some of my top shows. There's just so much good stuff out there. Oh, Walking Dead, of course. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, there's just so many. I could list more, but those are probably my top shows.
Right. And speaking of that, you mentioned Walking Dead. I was just curious, have you seen Falling Skies?
Yeah, I tried. I tried. Yeah, I got to about episode 7 in season 1, and then I couldn't watch the rest of it. But yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. I'm sorry. I'm a big Walking Dead fan, but I watched Falling Skies, and I guess it kind of caught my eye a little bit, so I've actually been pretty hardcore into it lately, but I was just curious because I know a lot of Walking Dead fans kind of find a common theme between the two with the whole apocalyptic situation.
Oh, right.
That's interesting that you had to stop watching it.
Yeah, I just didn't get into it, but I was going to say, Aaron, if you ever do go to Comic-Con, they have a nice panel for it, and there are a lot of fans there. Like, I was actually around that area where the panel was taking place last year. I mean, people were really passionate. They had a great audience, and so yeah, if you go to Comic-Con next year, yeah, they'll definitely.
Right. All right. Well, if you want to follow David Griffin, you can go to his Twitter, which is @GriffinDE. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. And also, you can go to thinkhero.com, or what's your Twitter handle?
Oh, well, Twitter's at ThinkHero, and then we have the our YouTube page, is where all of our video reviews are and everything. That's ThinkHero TV on YouTube.
Right. So, yeah, be sure to check out all their great ways to find out about your favorite sci-fi and fantasy shows. And we really thank you for being on with us today. It was great to hear from you, and perhaps in the future we could just have you on as a regular host just for an episode or two and see if you enjoy doing that, because we always love to add some new people on and get some new opinions, so that'd be something we'd love to have you do sometime.
Yeah, no, please. Yeah, thanks, guys. This is great. Yeah, thanks, Aaron and Courtney. Really enjoyed talking with you, yeah, and hopefully you'll have me back. Yeah, I'd love to come back.
It was
excellent
talking to you, so thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Boom. All right.
Boom.
Okay. Okay, so there's the interview. This is a good interview. I think he really enjoyed talking to us, and we enjoyed talking with him, so it was nice to have someone else on, and it was a lot of fun. The big thing we talked about in the interview, at the end of the interview anyway, about our debate segment was who the winner was, and we said that Sarah would be the judge of that, Sarah and Andrew, but Andrew still is, who knows where he is.
M.I.A.
Before Sarah gives us her verdict, we also asked on Twitter what people's thoughts were on the top villain. And @lovedorship_LDA said,
Morgana, everything she's done and will do has been personally motivated, and she believes she is justified. And then I guess you're saying it's heartbreaking. Okay. It's interesting. I mean, hey, if you like Morgana, that's cool, but I feel like Morgana's just kind of, like, not really shown herself to be that serious of a villain yet. She's been having people do her bidding for her, and she's got more to prove. She's got a lot more evil that could be in her before she's, at least in my opinion, a terrible villain. Like, she's hardly, well, I would say she hasn't hardly killed as many people as some of the other people we've seen in this show, so. It's just my thoughts, but. Courtney, you want to read that next one?
Sure. I like this person. Oh, gosh, but I'm terrible at pronouncing. Senjobek. I think it's Hoback. I choose more ghosts. Guess what, Senhobek? I did too. I choose more ghosts. She was ruthless, calculative. She wasn't vulnerable. I must say, I agree with you. Morgose was a terrifying sight to behold, especially when her face got all manipulated and stuff.
Stuff.
Oh, she was there, Courtney. Now I can see what you mean by the debate.
I am an articulate speaker. I speak good American.
Okay.
Sarah, do you want to read the next one?
Sure. At Porphyrious Love. Easy, Morgana. She lasted past one series and had more of a personal effect on Camelot. Well, that's kind of debatable, I think, in a sense, but she has lasted past one series. Yeah.
She has. I think I can agree, see what they're seeing there, because, like, Morgana has really affected the heart of Camelot, like, the heart of the Camelot royalty. Like, Arthur feels really betrayed by it, and Uther, obviously, felt really betrayed by it. So I can see she's done quite a bit of damage to the hearts of our beloved Camelot royals.
I guess in a sense. But Nimue, I would probably say, had more of an effect on Uther than Morgana did, just because, in Uther's mind, Nimue was the cause of Egrain's death. So, it could go either way.
Right. There's a lot more history there.
Yep.
And Uther has a lot more to hide in that situation, so.
Yep.
I was always curious why Nimue never really exposed the whole secret to everyone. Because if she really hated Uther that much and wanted to make his life miserable, I feel like that'd be a pretty good way of doing it.
I don't think many people would believe her. Because she's an outcast, and in a way, like, she is on the run. She's hiding, because any magical person would be sentenced to death. So, I think there's a lot of reasons why she didn't reveal, partly because I don't really think anybody would have believed her, just because Uther is their king. But that all depends on the loyalties of Camelot. And the people of Camelot have proven to be very loyal to the Pendragons, so I don't know.
Alright. So, I mean, if you look at the responses we've had on Twitter, Morgana seemed to be the unanimous choice. But Sarah, it's really up to you, so what do you think?
Well,
no pressure.
I think that...
Nimue.
Boy. Is that a sneeze?
Sorry,
more ghosts.
Well,
David's not here to back himself up.
I know,
so
it's really not fair to him.
Tough luck for him.
Well, contrary to apparently a majority's point of view, I do not think Morgana would be the best villain. It seems that Morgana is kind of lost in the sense that she doesn't know. She was kind of all over the place, Series 4. So I think the winner of who was the best villain has to go to Morgose.
Yes! Just oh my because. Gosh! How do I always win this?
I have no idea, Courtney.
Fair enough.
Granted, I wasn't...
However...
I wasn't there for the debate, so I don't know. Maybe Aaron could have persuaded me more in the moment. But thinking back on it, I really think More Ghosts was probably the most ruthless. And I do agree with what Senjo Beck said. She was ruthless, calculative, and she wasn't very vulnerable. I agree with that. She had a vengeance against Uther, but in some ways I think Nimue was a little unhinged. She was kind of mentally ill. she seemed pretty insane towards the end. So, yeah.
And in David's defense, he did say that Morgana definitely wasn't his top choice for villain. Yeah. So we kind of made him argue someone that he might not have wholeheartedly believed in. So,
well, who did he believe
better
in?
Better luck next time, David, I'm sure.
Thanks, David, you were a good sport.
I think More Ghosts, maybe, but maybe we can have him debate with us again some other time.
And woo, go More Ghosts.
See if he can score a win for himself.
Well, I haven't yet, so that doesn't work.
Yeah, so that's true.
Well.
We have a couple other tweets, just some small things I saw on there that I wanted to mention. At Aussie Merlin Fan said, what is Arthur's Bane? Now, I believe they asked this because before we were going to interview David, we asked if anyone had any questions for David and us while we did the interview. And this one came in after we had finished. We did talk about it a little bit in the interview, but just to reiterate a little bit, our theory, or at least my theory on Arthur's Bane right now, is that Arthur's Bane is Uther, and that when Uther's around, the two of them just, they can't survive together. Like, Arthur's not going to prosper if Uther's around, and Uther would ultimately be the end of Arthur if Uther was to fully exist again, because we know he's coming back, but we don't know to what extent. So I believe that, at first, you know, it's going to be happy that Uther's back, and everyone's going to be glad, and everyone's going to be, like, really surprised, obviously, that he's back. But in the end, Arthur and Merlin are going to realize that Uther is causing more problems than if he wasn't around, and they're going to have to get rid of him.
Interesting.
Ha 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 ha
ha. I think, Aaron, you're giving Uther a little bit more of a, like, character presence on the show than I think I'm going to give him. I think, like, Anthony Head is only going to be there for maybe, I would say, at the most 5 episodes. I don't think he's going to be around very much. Obviously, according to legend, Arthur's Bane, or as Bane means the end of Arthur is through Mordred. And we see Mordred being a knight in Camelot, so I definitely think the end of Arthur is probably befriending Mordred and inviting him into his close circle, because according to legend, Mordred kills Arthur. So, yeah, that's my thought on the subject.
Right, and I, just off my experience with the show, you know, they don't always follow Arthurian legend exactly. So, in my opinion, you know, I could see them kind of spinning this off, is why I kind of have that theory apart from. Are they, you know, yeah, he could just be warning Arthur and Merlin about Mordred and how dangerous he is. So, that, you know, that's possible, but I just wouldn't put it past the producers of this show to change it up a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, in a sense,
I
but
the
first season when Mordred did make his first appearance, it did say the beginning of the end. So I'm guessing they're probably still going to stick to Mordred being Arthur's demise, if not this series, but the next series at least.
Right, yeah.
But anyway.
So, well, I guess we'll see what happens. Courtney, did you have anything to add?
Like I said, I'm hoping that Uther's just a bad dream.
Yeah, that's possible too. And then the other tweet, at Senjobek, or Senhobek, actually also asked what our favorite episodes were in season 4. Now, I think we talked about this a little bit before. Mine was Lancelot Duloc, because I loved all the drama that went on in that episode, and the craziness that happened between Lancelot and Gwen, and then Arthur finding out about it and all that good stuff. So that was mine. Courtney, what was yours?
I really liked Herald of a New Age.
because I thought that it was really just a turning point for Arthur and his opinion towards, obviously, the druids and magic and kind of away from that blind magical kind of genocide that his father had committed in Camelot. So, Sarah, how about you?
My favorite episode, again, was A Servant of Two Masters. I just loved the I loved Colin Morgan's performance, especially in this episode, but Merlin's attitude of how he was trying to kill Arthur. It was a very humorous episode, but at the same time, it was a very impactful episode, and it just, it goes to show how loyal Merlin is, but also how that, how close he is to Arthur can be a danger and a possible threat. So, yeah, I thought that was one of Morgana's better plots to destroy Arthur.
As I sit here editing this episode, I realize that I forgot to really intro this segment. For those of you that didn't listen last week, the next segment we do is called Scripted Magic. Basically, we take a scene from Merlin, we have the transcripts, and we try and act out the scene for you guys. And it usually doesn't go that well, but it's kind of funny at times. So lately, people have really enjoyed listening to it, so we're going to give it another shot. And Andrew gets back to join us just in time. So the first scene involves... Oh, and look who's calling, Andrew.
Andrew. Huh, 1 second. Andrew. Hello?
Hey, you would not believe the night I had just had tonight.
Wait,
don't tell us.
Wait, don't tell us. You have to record.
No.
You're already recording?
No, I'm recording right now. Yeah.
When did you start? Like, before you called us?
Like right before.
Okay, I'll figure it out, no problem. Alright,
Wait, so,
Andrew's here. Go ahead and fill us in, Andrew.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I got invited to a game, like, I don't know, 2 hours ago, something like that, by, you know, Nick, Aaron, girl.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, I go there, and it turns out for the men's league, they're in its championship night. I had no idea. And, so I'm already a little surprised. The first team we play, it's not too bad. You know, I just take face-offs for the team, and, you know, they're just a bunch of losers, but it wasn't too bad.
This
next
is lacrosse,
team we play,
by the way.
They have, like, yeah, so everyone's a winner, but, I mean, those guys are. But the next team we play, it turns out they've got, like, 5 former pros on their team, and that wasn't a very fun game. So, yeah, that was my night, and... My thumb hurts really badly right now. I actually had to stop a couple times on the way home because I hurt to drive. And, yeah, I actually had to reach my left hand over to turn the ignition in my key in my van.
Did you break your finger?
So, I hope not. If I did, I'm calling in sick tomorrow for work, but...
Well, is it swollen?
Well, actually, no. When you think of it that way, I think I did hurt my finger.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
It's definitely swollen up. My... Right hand looks a lot bigger than my left hand right now.
Well, if it's swollen and you can feel a pulse, it might be broken.
If it's swollen and you can feel... I can feel a pulse. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
A pulse in your thumb.
Means you're dead.
Yeah, it means you're dying. So, sorry.
Dang.
This is Andrew's last episode, everyone.
Guys, say goodbye.
Just kidding. Alright, so Andrew. We just... kind of went through most of it. We just got to our scripted magic segment, so you're just in time to act a little. I emailed you the outline.
I thought the new trailer looked very cool. I just watched it, and the minute and a half one.
Yeah.
Wasn't it good?
Yeah. Yeah, the music was kind of... That caught me off guard. But I thought it was good.
He's on the outline, and I see that. Okay, Andrew. If you scroll down to Scripted Magic, the first scene is the one that takes place in the dining hall at the beginning of the episode of Sword in the Stone.
Can I be
where
guys?
I guess he's got one line.
All right. That's it? I'll take it.
Here, well, I could be, I don't care. I'll read all the narration stuff.
How many parts do we have?
There's King
4.
Arthur, Gaius, and Merlin. Plus the narrator.
Well, first of all, who wants to do what? I mean,
someone should.
I'll take what other.
Someone should try to do Percival's snigger or his choking on his wine, since this is audio and we can't react it.
Wait.
I'll try and pull that off. I'll just narrate. That's fine. I'll act out in the second one there. So, who wants to be Merlin? Who wants to be Arthur? And who wants to be Gaius?
I'll be Merlin.
Okay, I'll be Arthur.
Okay, we got our Merlin.
What about,
okay.
I guess that makes me get. I'll be, wait, Aaron, you have Sir Elian, right?
Wait.
That's a different scene.
Oh, right, good call.
I don't have to be Arthur.
Andrew, you can be Gaius, and you can. Oh, it's fine.
Oh, yeah, I'll be Gaius. I'm good.
And you can do.
I've always wanted to try Gaius.
You can do the sound effects for me, too, after I read them, Andrew. That's perfect. there's like where Percival sniggers, you can do that. But I'm just waiting for the fire whistle to go down. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. This is at a minute 57 into the episode. We're in the King's Palace, Council Dining Chamber, night. The dining room bustles with conversation as Arthur enters. He passes Gaius as he heads to the head of the table.
Have you seen Agravain?
No, sire. Not since this morning.
Strange. He should be here by now.
Arthur takes his place at the head table, and Merlin arrives with a heaping plate of food.
Ah, my favorite. Herb-crusted caper.
Easy now. We don't want any more hoes in that belt.
Ha.
Percival chokes on his wine as he snickers.
Ha ha.
Wine?
Gaius nods and Merlin pours him a glass.
Merlin.
Arthur nods for him to lean in. Merlin steps closer and Arthur grabs the front of his shirt.
It's a good job you don't have anything of actual importance to keep a secret, isn't it?
Oh, this was one of my favorite
end scenes
in the episode. Yeah. It was so funny.
Oh, the irony.
Oh, so chubby. I love it.
Okay, good job. Okay, second scene is when the Agravain and Morgana and Helios have gotten into the castle and they're walking through the chambers, and it's when they confront Elian. So we have Elian, Agravain, and Morgana, and we need a narrator. Agravain on this one.
I'll be narrator. Right,
fair enough. Andrew?
I'll be Morgana.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. All right. I was going to turn around. Okay. So, you know, setting the scene, this is when... Oh, no, I don't need to set the scene. We got Courtney to do that. Go ahead,
yeah.
Courtney.
Yeah. Okay, this is 5 minutes and 15 seconds into the episode. King's Palace, corridor, night. Elian runs into Agravain, marching down the corridors with the Southrons.
This is your doing!
Oh, stand aside. There's nothing you can do about it now.
Elian draws his sword! Elian draws his sword.
Are you there?
Oh. I can kill you for the traitor that you are.
Agravain draws his sword.
Whoa. Brave words, Elian. And they shall be your last.
Elian is thrown backwards and falls to the floor unconscious. The Southrons step aside, revealing Morgana behind them with a hand raised.
We don't have time to play soldiers, Agravain.
Morgana marches past them, and they follow. Mm-hmm, yep. Arthur leads a defensive through the corridors. Southrons pour into the main square.
Okay, and that's the end of our show. Thank you, everyone, and have a good night. Goodbye.
Bye.
I'm
just kidding.
Bye.
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I was about to say, what?
I was like, hey, bye.
Great job, everyone.
After a voice like that, Aaron wants to get off in a hurry.
No, I was just thinking, it actually sounds more like Emrys. But, I just like to mess around.
Dragoon the Great. Can we please do that scene?
It sounded like some villain I saw on some cartoon somewhere. I can't remember.
So, yeah, great job, everyone. Our acting skills are definitely improving.
Terrible.
I mean, they're awful. They're awful.
I'm just kidding. But it's a lot of fun to do these, so I think we'll keep doing them until someone starts complaining. So.
British listeners get offended by our British accents.
That are completely non-existent.
I mean, yeah. British listeners, we fake your accents because we secretly want them.
Yeah.
So.
That's right.
I mean, it's not a secret for me.
Although I will say I'm pretty good at faking this American accent, so.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty good for a non-American, JK.
Yeah, for an Australian.
For an Australian.
Can you do an Australian accent?
Probably not.
Okay,
Andrew.
We should do an episode where we only talk in a certain accent. That is.
We should all do British accents one episode. That'd
definitely
be
ridiculous. Gonna be too hard.
No,
it'd be
alternate,
so good.
Alternate voices. We have to do alternate voices for the whole episode. but yeah. I think that's about it for the episode. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I hope you enjoyed our attempt at being a part of Merlin. I don't think they'll be giving us any phone calls anytime soon to get on the show. But hey, you never know. that's about it. I think next week we're going to go back
to... There was an interview. That's cool.
You knew
there
was an interview.
You interviewed that one. Yeah, I thought we were doing... For some reason, I felt like we podcasted Monday. I don't know.
Andrew's a little late to the dinner party, so, you know. He's got to catch up.
I'm late to every party, dude.
It's okay, Andrew.
What do you call it? I'm fashionably late. There you go.
You have a broken thumb. We'll forgive you.
That's right.
Yeah.
But
I'm
next
moving
week,
my mouth around with my left hand right now. It's kind of hard.
Next week, we should be, I think, back on schedule as far as we'll be covering part two of Beauty and the Beast. And we'll have some other fun news and segments prepared for you. Until next week, my name's Aaron Millard.
My name's Courtney Catadella.
I'm Sarah Sutherland.
And I'm Andrew Grayson.
Okay, thank you, everyone.
With a Z.
See you next week. Andrew with a C, yes. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
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 Goodbye. Okay.